Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. This is your brother Mikhail Ahmed Smith here from Qalam. If you enjoy listening to our podcast, please donate to Qalam by visiting supportqalam.com. We love being able to share this content for free, and your donation ensures that we will always be able to do so. Each podcast we produce has thousands of listeners, so the support you give to this community in this effort brings immense reward. You never know who will benefit from your donation. Assalamu alaikum.
Bismillah. So as I was saying, this topic which we're going to be discussing, last week we discussed the awrad or the wird, which was a person's regular litany, their regular, the water you could say for their heart spiritually. We talked about that in our last session. And today we're starting from al-faslun fi dhikri. The section on the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This topic to me has extreme importance. As a new Muslim back some 17 years ago or whatever, one of the things that I found most beautiful about Islam was the concept of staying in the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That a person's tongue is constantly moist in the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's a very profound concept. So just before we go through, why is something that is so easy to do, like dhikr? Dhikr is just remembrance of Allah on your tongue. Why is something so easy to do? Why does it have such a profound impact and importance in the deen? That's my first question for you. Why does something that's so easy to do, I'm just moving my tongue, I'm just saying some phrases, why does that have such a significance in the religion? Well, it's because the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or the remembrance of anything creates in the beginning two things. When you first begin dhikr of anything, remembrance of anything, there's two qualities that are created within or two attributes which are created within a person. Number one is a concept that's called unsiya, or familiarity with someone. To be very familiar with someone is called unsiya. Like, you're very comfortable around that person. The opposite of that is wahsha, when you feel very estranged from a person. It's like the moments in an elevator with someone you've never been around before. It's just like the weirdest 30 seconds in your life. It's like very, very strange time, right? Similarly, there are some people who have that same strange feeling when they're in the presence of gatherings of the mention of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It feels very strange. It feels like that elevator feeling almost. But there are other people who you're around them and it could just be moments of silence. You could just be in your most relaxed state because of your unsiya. The Arabic word for that is unsiya. Because of your unsiya or familiarity with that person, you feel so comfortable around them. And so the first quality that is created by dhikr or remembrance of Allah, the first quality that is created is unsiya with Allah. And that's a beautiful thing to have, that you feel comfortable with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The second quality that is created in the heart is muhabba or love. Love. So dhikr, which is remembrance of God on the tongue, and we'll talk about specific adhkar, right? For someone who doesn't know, what do you mean dhikr? What does that mean? Well, it's something we're reciting constantly on our tongue over and over again. And we'll go through different like formulas and things that we say and that he's recommending that we say. So in the beginning of your stage and journey spiritually to Allah, the dhikr creates two things. The familiarity and the love, right? The familiarity and the love. But here's the beautiful thing. As you become more experienced and you go further down the road spiritually, guess what? The dhikr is a result of unsiya and love. Do you get what I'm saying? The dhikr is a result, not caused by... The dhikr in the beginning causes unsiya and causes love. Right? Just take, like, if you're getting engaged to someone, right? Like, in the beginning, you're just creating. Like, you get the name on your tongue. Like, I remember, alhamdulillah, wifey didn't come today, so I can use examples now. And I know she ain't watching live stream. She's like, I don't need to hear you. You know, saying that. Straight up, yo. Say, what are you going to say? So, in the beginning, I would just be like, Sara. I'd just be saying the name, yo. Like, Sara. Just practicing it, you know what I mean? Just practicing it so it would flow. You know what I'm saying? Like, just so it was there was a familiarity. And then, later, that became a muhabba, right? And now, inshallah, the remembrance of Sara is based out of unsi and familiarity. In the beginning, I was just saying the name because I'm trying to get used to it. I want to get to know it. Do you understand what I mean by that example? So in the beginning of your journey, you're doing this dhikr to create the love for Allah and create the familiarity with Allah. But as you keep struggling, it's the other way around. You will create such a comfortable feeling with Allah. You will create such a love with Allah that it's just going to be coming out of you because of the feeling that you've now built inside of you. Fahimtum. Everyone get it? It's a beautiful concept. But before we go forward, I just want to, just for maybe 1 minute, talk about this concept of unsiya again. I've talked about it many times. We want to get to the point where we feel comfortable with Allah. Like there's sometimes in our spiritual time, like when we sit in a khutbah or we sit in a lecture or we sit in something spiritual and we feel like a fish out of water. We're sitting in a spiritual gathering and we feel like a fish out of water. Like, this got to the end, man. This is too much religion. Woo, it's hot up in here. I need to get out. Right? But later on, as we develop, you start to bask in that. And you're like, I need that hit, yo. Wednesday night is my hit. I need that hit, yo. That's my water. That's my spiritual nourishment for the week. And I'm looking forward to that. You fahamt? So what we want to do is slowly create that. And what happens, though, this is important to understand. As you create an unsiya for something, it's going to naturally create in you a estrangement from the opposite of that thing. So be ready for that effect. Like when you start to get more comfortable in these gatherings, other gatherings are going to start feeling more whack. They're going automatically, and you're going to need more of this. That's going to start feeling like, it's not doing what it used to do. Well, that's good, alhamdulillah. Right? And that's a natural feeling. That's a natural thing that should come. So again, the goal of dhikr in the beginning is to create these two things inside of yourself. That's the point. But at the end, the dhikr is a result of those two feelings. Tayyib. So bismillah, let's begin his poem, inshallah. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. He begins, he says, فَصْلٌ فِي الذِّكْرِ أَمَّا دَوَامُ الذِّكْرِ فَهْوَ أَكْبَرُ مِنْ كُلِّ مَا كَانَ الْمُرِيدُ يُكْثِرُ. He says, أَمَّا دَوَامُ الذِّكْرِ, as for constantly remaining engaged in the remembrance of Allah. So before we go forward, just in case, if anyone here is not familiar with dhikr of Allah, right? We're all on different stages, like what is he even talking about? Dhikr of Allah is the repeating of phrases of God's remembrance. So like, glory be to Allah, subhanallah, Allahu Akbar. Allah is the greatest. La ilaha illallah. So Muslims, this concept of dhikr, the Prophet ﷺ would do this regularly. Just like, just going from here to there, the tongue is constantly glorifying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with these phrases. That's what dhikr Allah means. But we're going to go through some specific formulas in a minute. He says, Amma dawamu dhikri fahwa akbaru min kulli ma kana muridu yukthiru. He says, as far as constantly remembering Allah, it is the greatest thing that you, a seeker of God, can do in abundance. What he means by this is there's no limit to this thing. There's no restrictions on this thing. There's no need for purity. There's no need to get up. This is something that is constantly you can be engaged in. Constantly, over and over again. Prayer, we can't pray it all the time. There's times in the day where we can't pray our prayer. You can't do hajj all year long. You can't give zakat all the time. You can't fast all the time. There's days in the year where fasting is not allowed. But if you want to talk about something that you can constantly be engaged in, then remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is one of those things that there's no limit to, there's no restrictions to whatsoever. قَدْ قُلْتُ ذَٰلِكَ بِلَا إِصْرَارِ وَلَا أُبَالِي بِذَوِ الْإِنْكَارِ. He says, I'ma say this straight up and frank without any holding back, and I don't care about anyone who denies what I'm saying. He's trying to say, like, if anyone's trying to hate on me for talking about dhikr, I'm not hearing you. Why though? He says, وَكُلُّ مَنْ سَأَلَنِي فَلِي جَوَابٍ قَبَلَ وَلَا تُجَادِلُ أَهْلَ الْكِتَابِ. Now this is one of the things. So for those, so Sheikh Ahmed Ubamba has a really strange, really interesting style of writing. He says, كُلُّ مَنْ سَأَلَنِي, whoever asks me, like, what's up with you talking about dhikr so much? He says, فَلِي جَوَابٍ, my reply to them is before وَلَا تُجَادِلُ أَهْلَ الْكِتَابِ. Now you're like, what does that mean? Well, there's a verse in the Quran that says, وَلَا تُجَادِلُوا أَهْلَ الْكِتَابِ إِلَّا بِالَّتِي يَحْسَنُ. Do not dispute with the people of the book except in a beautiful way. What does that have to do? Well, the verse right before that says, "Wa dhikrullahi akbar." The dhikr of Allah is the greatest thing. So his style is really interesting. Instead of saying the verse, in order to keep the flow of the poem, he mentioned the verse after it and said, "The one before it is my proof." It's just a little literary kind of like his flow, whatever. Whatever. Like, you gotta be kind of like a nerd to kind of like that stuff. So he says, وَكُلُّ مَنْ سَأَلَنِي فَلِي جَوَابْ قَبَلَ وَلَا تُجَادِلُوا أَهْلَ الْكِتَابِ. Anyone who asks me, my reply to them is before وَلَا تُجَادِلُوا أَهْلَ الْكِتَابِ. And what he's referring to is a verse. The verse says, وَلَذِكْرُ اللَّهِ أَكْبَرُ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and the remembrance of Allah is the greatest. Now, what does that mean, akbar? What it means, quite frank, I'm going to spill this. I know it's going to spill. What it means is, dhikrullah akbar min all of the other ibadat. That's what it means. Dhikrullah is akbar min all of the ibadat. Now, there's one more meaning there. So everyone get that first one? The first one is that the statement says simply that the remembrance of Allah is the greatest. So scholars explain, what does it mean, the greatest? Well, they say akbar min kulli ibadat. It's better than all of the other worships that you can do. But there's another meaning there, and it's beautiful. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Prophet taught us that when you remember Allah, what does Allah do? Remembers you. Exactly. Exactly. When you remember Allah, the Prophet said in a hadith, when you remember Allah in a gathering, Allah remembers you in a greater gathering. When you remember Allah by yourself, Allah remembers you to Himself. Now, what some mentioned, لَذِكْرُ akbar, that Allah's remembering you is better than your remembering Allah. That's the other meaning for this. لَذِكْرُ اللَّهِ akbar means Allah's remembrance of you is even greater than your remembrance of Him. And what is it? SubhanAllah, it's just, listen, if just to know that someone is thinking about you means a lot to us. Those who we love, those who we care for, those who we look up to. You know what I'm saying? Someone you look up to, imagine like, I don't know, take someone you look up to and imagine you just get a message from them all of a sudden. And he's like, yo, bro, I was just thinking about you, what's going on? You're like, aww. I feel so good. I feel so amazing. Wow, you were thinking about me? And on a side note, honestly, you know how sometimes people just pass your mind and you just keep rolling with your day? When people pass your mind, you should reach out to them. There's a reason they passed your mind. I'll tell you something crazy that happened to me like 2 weeks ago. So Naeem Beg used to be a student here. He's in Maryland, right? Mm-hmm. And so it was after halaqa 2 weeks ago. 2 weeks ago, after halaqa. I was driving home, me, wife, the kids. I was pulling in my driveway. And Naeem's like picture, like he came in my head very strong. Like I was like, dang, what's up with Naeem? And I was thinking to myself, man, I haven't heard from him in a minute. I don't know why. It just came to my head, right? And so I was like, and then I got kids, so I forgot everything. So I got in the house, forgot everything. So the next day, I'm on the campus, and I'm walking past Sheikh Abdul Nasser's room right there, right? His office is right there. So I'm walking past, and I'm going in the car, but I was like, yo, let me just say salam to him. So I lean in, and Naeem is sitting right there. And I like jump back. I was like, yo! And he was kind of like, because he don't know what's going on in my life, right? Yeah. So he was kind of like, Sheikh, assalamu alaikum. And I was still tripping. I was kind of like, my point, brothers and sisters, is when people come to your mind, you should reach out to them. There's a reason Allah has put that person in your mind. Reach out to them quick. Just hit a message, yo, thinking about assalamu alaikum, what's going on? Right? It means a lot to people. So consider that, inshallah ta'ala. So back to this. What adhikrullahi akbar, Allah's remembrance of you is greater than your remembrance of Him. And so what I was trying to say is to know that Allah is mentioning you, every time you're mentioning Him, there should be no greater feeling than that. SubhanAllah. He says, وَقُلْتُ مَنْ تَرَكَ ذِكْرَ اللَّهِ لِذِكْرِ غَيْرِهِ فَغُمْرٌ لَاهِ وَقُلْتُ مَنْ تَرَكَ ذِكْرَ اللَّهِ لِذِكْرِ غَيْرِهِ فَغُمْرٌ لَاهِمْ. He says, I say to everyone who leaves the remembrance of God for the remembrance of other things, like you can talk about everything else, but you can't just subhanAllah, walhamdulillah, wa la ilaha, you can't do that. You can talk about everything else for hours, hours, hours. But when it comes to just remembering God and His blessings, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala You can't do that for 3 minutes. He says, I say to these people, فَغُمْرٌ لَاهِنْ. You're simple-minded and inattentive. You need to become more attentive. If something other than Allah is predominating your dhikr that you're constantly focused on, then you haven't developed a deep enough relationship with Allah or realized the blessings of Allah. He says next though, فَكَيْفَ يَنْسَى أَوْ يُغَافِلُ الْوَرَىٰ ذِكْرَ الَّذِي خَلَقَهُمْ وَسَوَّرَىٰ. فَكَيْفَ يَنْسَى, how can the creation forget or be heedless? Forget, نَسِيَ يَنْسَى, forget, أَوْ يُغَافِلُ, or be heedless of the one who created them and gave them form. Like, yo, at least do this. The number of times you pick up your phone and like check real quick, we don't do that too much, but I've been peeping game, people be checking. Let me see you. You know what I mean? Y'all know what I mean? Nah, right? That's how you do it, right?
No, we don't see it.
Yeah, I'll be seeing it. I'll be like, yo, what are y'all doing? Okay, so if every time you do that joint and you're like, I'm cool, remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because that form was given by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's what he's saying, literally. He says, فَكَيْفَ يَنْسَى. How can you forget? How can the creation forget? Or يُغَافِل. Now there's two words here. There's two words there here that he mentions. He mentions غَفْلَ and نَسِيَ. Let me explain these two Arabic words to you. غَفْلَ is to purposefully leave something out. And it's called heedlessness in English. We call غَفْلَ heedlessness. It's just to be like غَافِل of something. It's the opposite of being aware of something. And nasiya yansa means to forget it without ikhtiyar. So he's like, these are two states of like being absent-mindedness. One you control, the other you have no control over. And he's basically explaining that how can you be in either of these states regarding Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when He created you and gave you form. So he's just reminding us about staying present in mind and aware of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala constantly. By the way, there are two verses regarding these two things, ghafla and nasiya. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَا تُكُونُوا كَالَّذِينَ نَسُوا اللَّهَ فَأَنْسَاهُمْ أَنْفُسَهُمْ. It's a very interesting verse. Allah says, don't be like those people who forgot Allah, فَأَنْسَاهُمْ أَنْفُسَهُمْ. So He caused them to even forget themselves. It's a very profound verse because what we understand is your remembrance of Allah is for you too. And your heedlessness of Allah is against you. And so this verse is saying, don't be like those people who forgot themselves, forgot Allah, because as a result of that, you're forgetting your true self. What I mean by true self, you're actually going back to Allah and you're forgetting that. You're absent-minded of that. وَلَا تَكُونُوا مِنَ الْغَافِلِينَ. And don't be amongst those who are completely heedless. He says, وَأَنَّهُ بِدَايَةُ الْوِلَايَةِ وَتَرْكُهُ نِهَايَةُ الْغَوَايَةِ. He says, ذِكْر, this concept of remembrance of Allah, بِدَايَةُ الْوِلَايَةِ. One of the goals of a believer, I know we still like young, but one of the goals of the believer is wilayatullah, to become a wali of Allah. What is a wali? A friend of Allah. Now, like, we use the term friend real loosely, but how many, like, subhanAllah, if you got four deep friends in life, that's gold, yo. Like, not acquaintances. Friends. One of the goals of a believer is wilaya with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he says, وَأَنَّهُ بِدَايَةُ الْوِلَايَةِ. This dhikr of Allah is the bidaya of wilaya. It's the beginning of friendship. This is the first step. If you want that wilaya with Allah, that friendship with Allah, this is the first step. Look what he says next. وَتَرْكُهُ نِهَايَةُ الْغَوَايَةِ. And leaving it is the end of wretchedness. Like, the last thing that happens to you when you go astray is there's absolutely zero dhikr of Allah. That's the last stage. You're done. You're out of it. You're away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he's giving us the formula to understand that this is the beginning stage. Going forward. جَعَلَنَا اللَّهُ مِنَ الَّذِينَ دَامُوا بِفِكْرَةٍ عَلَيْهِ الْحِينَ. He says, may Allah make us of those people who are in constant contemplation all the time of Allah. وَخُلْفُ فِي الْأَسْرَارِ وَالْإِجْهَارِ بَيْنَ الْمَشَايِكِ الْكَرَامِ جَارِ. He says, there's a difference of opinion regarding amongst the scholars. Regarding, is it better to do dhikr loudly or dhikr quietly? So, let's talk about this. He's talking now about remembering Allah. And when you're remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you could do it loudly, right? Allahu Akbar, subhanallah, alhamdulillah. Or you could just do it quietly. Low key. So he says there's a difference of opinion amongst the scholars of which one is better. So look what he says. فَضَّلُوا سِرَّ. Some have said, you know what, all the time to do dhikr quietly is better. Why? لِبُعْدٍ مِنَ الرِّيَا. Because you're far away from showing off. When you're doing it loudly, everyone's like, when you got the subha, everybody got their tasbih, yo. No tasbih, yo? There we go. Let me see. Right? Like when your man's like rocking it, like there's no doubt what he's doing, right? Everybody knows, like, yo, what you doing, bro? Oh, I'm just nothing much. Oh, you saw this? Oh, okay. Come on, man. Why you gotta be flaunting the tasbih like that, yo? Unless we're gonna get there. Hold on. Why you tapping him, yo? Dang, he got a good knee. I got you.
Thank you.
I got you. So look, some faddalu sirra. Some preferred quiet dhikr. Why? لِبُعْدٍ مِنَ الرِّيَا. You're far away from showing off. Like, it's just no one knows but you, right? وَجَمْءِ فِكْرَةٍ بِهِ إِنُّوِيَا. He says, and plus you can concentrate more. Like, when it's quiet, your ability to focus is sometimes higher. So he says these are two reasons why some of the mashayikh said quiet dhikr is better. But look what he says next. وَبَعْضُهُمْ فَضَّلُوا أَنْ يُجْهَرَ بِي لِيَسْمَعَ الْغَيْرُ وَيَقْتَدِيَ بِي. And some prefer that you do it loudly. Why? لِيَسْمَعَ غَيْرُ. So somebody else can hear you. وَيَقْتَدِيَ بِي. And they follow. They're like, oh, are we dickering? Oh, okay. I know we were dickering, all right? No, seriously. So that's it. There you go. Right? So some people, they're rocking the tasbih. Like, I was rolling with one student. Alhamdulillah, we drove all the way down to Austin last week, and my man was rocking that tasbih the whole time. Anytime my mind was like, thing, I was looking over, I was like, subhanAllah, yeah, you're right, let's roll. You get what I'm saying? So it's a reminder. And that's why some people call the tasbih al-mudhakkara, the reminder. Because even if it's just sitting there, you're like, yeah, why not, you know? It's like a pack of gum. You're like, oh, why not, you know? Like, it's just easy to, it's just quick. It reminds you of what you're supposed to be doing. Right? It reminds you of what your purpose is, what you're here for. You're here to remember Allah and get back to Allah. That's it. Remember this. The greatest pleasure of Jannah, according to Hadith and Quran, what's the greatest pleasure of Jannah? Seeing Allah. But that pleasure will be different for everyone according to your desire to see Him in the world. Your desire to see Him in the world. So some people are going to be like, feeling it. And other people, yeah, it's cool, yeah, it's great. And the scholars say that depended on your desire to see Him in this world. And that dhikr is like, I know you're there, I need you. I need you. That's what it is. It's just remembering Allah, so building that desire to see Him. So he says some of them preferred loudly. Why? So that it becomes a reminder for other people around you. وَيَحْصُلُ الْأَجْرَانِ حَيْثُمَا اِقْتَدَى غَيْرٌ بِهِ لَمَا بِجَهْرِهِ بَدَى. He says, and then when people follow you, you get two rewards, because now you doing dhikr, he's doing dhikr, you get the reward for both. You chilling. وَيَأْخُذُ الْكُلَّ مِنَ الْحَوَاسِ قِسْتًا لَهُ مِنْ ذِكْرِ رَبِّ النَّاسِ. Now, you know, if you ever listen to something, like, the thing about, like, things you listen to, your whole body can feel them. Whatever you listen to, I mean, you know, Quran, you know, whatever, right? When it's loud, your whole body feels it. So what he says here, he says, وَيَأْخُذُ كُلَّ مِنَ الْحَوَاسِ. When you do louder dhikr, your whole body is benefiting from that. You're hearing it, the vibrations, like sound is vibrations. And that those vibrations are going through you. And so your whole body is benefiting from that remembrance of Allah, feeling the vibrations of those sounds. So he says the other reason why they prefer doing it loud is because وَيَأْخُذُ الْكُلَّ مِنَ الْحَوَاسِ قِسْتًا لَهُ مِنْ ذِكِرِ رَبِّ النَّاسِ. The whole body is now engaged in that remembrance of Allah, feeling the benefit of that. Whereas if you just did it quiet, the rest of the body is like, can we get some? Can we get some of that? Like, can we feel some of that dhikr through us? SubhanAllah. 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 وَالْبَعْضُ لِلْتَوْسِيتِ فِيهِ مَعْلَى مُفَصِّلًا بَيْنَهُمَا فَقَالَ إِنْ كَانَ خَائِفًا مِنَ الرِّيَاءِ فَحَقُّهُ الْإِصْرَارُ بِالْإِخْفَاءِ إِذْ سَوْنُ فِعْلِهِ عَنِ الْبُطْلَانِ يَكُونُ فِي الْإِخْفَاءِ وَالْكِتْمَانِ. He says, the third group said, you know what? It's not about loud. It's not about quiet. They said, you know what? It depends. If you are a person that doing it loudly will lead to you like showing off, you gotta do it quiet. فَحَقُّ الْإِسْرَارُ وَالْإِخْفَاءِ. You gotta do it quiet. It, because protecting your action from being void is the most important thing. That's the most important thing. And the only way you do that is إِخْفَاء, hiding it and doing it quietly. أَمَّا الَّذِي إِذَا نَاءَ عَنِ الرِّيَاءِ لِقُوَّةِ التَّمْكِينِ وَالصَّفَاءِ. Come on in. Come on in. Come on in. Make some room, man. The Prophet ﷺ, he said in a hadith, guys, حَقَّرْ عَلَى مُسْلِمْ إِذَا رَآهُ أَنْ يَتَزَعْزَعَ لَهُ. It's a believer's right when you see them that you like move a bit. Like even if you don't like really move, you just like... Because then the person feels like, oh, they're making room for me. No, I'm serious. That's such a beautiful hadith. Like you see them and you just move. You ever walk into late into a meeting or class and nobody move and you kind of like... Or you walk in and somebody's like, you're like, oh, okay, cool. You know what I'm saying? So the Prophet ﷺ said, it's the haqq of a Muslim when you see them that you just move a bit. Just move something. Like, just let me know you acknowledge my coming in. It's beautiful. Prophet ﷺ, amazing, amazing. SubhanAllah. Such beautiful wisdom. Such small, beautiful wisdom. Amazing. So he says, as far as the person who is protected from riyah, you good. You're like, I don't even care about what these people think about me. I'm good. Right? لِقُوَّةِ التَّمْكِينِ. Because you're good. You're قُوَّةِ التَّمْكِينِ. You've established yourself. You're good. وَالصَّفَى. Your heart is clean. فَحَقُّهُ الْجَهْرَ بِلَا خَفَى. You should do dhikr loud. SubhanAllah. Hamdul. Walk around to speech. Right? Walk around with it. Let it be seen. He says, لِنَيْلِ فَائِدَةِ الْإِقْتِدَى. So that you can get the benefit of people following your example, and thereby you're getting the reward of them. وَهُوَ اِخْتَارُ شَيْخِنَا الْمُخْتَارِ عَلَيْهِ رِضْوَانِ الْإِلَهِ الْبَارِ. He says, this was what my teacher recommended to us, that we look at our state. And there's no one that's better than the other. It just depends on your state of your faith and connection with Allah. فَانْذُرْ أَخِي فِي جُنَّةِ الْمُرِيدِ لِشَيْخِنَا الْخَلِيفَةِ الرَّشِيدِ. He's like, look in the book, جُنَّةِ الْمُرِيدِ, of our Sheikh, our scholar, Khalifat al-Rashid. That's the name of the scholar. If you look in the book, you'll see these things here. Okay, so let's talk about this. There are three levels of dhikr. There are three levels of dhikr I need you to take note of. The first and lowest level of dhikr is dhikrul lisan faqat. Dhikr of the tongue only. Dhikr of the tongue only. So what this means is that the person is like, you know, you're driving, you're doing other work, but you're just like, subhanAllah, 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 subhanAllah. You know, like sometimes you know lyrics to a song or something, you can still do work and still those be coming out, right? But if you were listening to Native Dean, then you could be like, Allahu Akbar, whatever. You know what I mean? You could, never mind, forget it. You just know the lyrics to something, you can be busy while the tongue. Your mind and heart is not there, but what's there? Your tongue is there. That's the lowest level of dhikr. Now, this lowest level of just the tongue, there's three types of it. There's three types of dhikr. Number one is going to be dhikr thana'i, or praise. So there are statements like alhamdulillah, subhanallah, allahu akbar, those things. Number two is going to be adhkar that are dua. And we talked about this last week. Like, you know, any type of dua. Bismillah alladhi la yadhurru ma ismi shay'in fil ardi wa la fis sama'i wa huwa samiul 'alim. Any type of dua, type of subhanalladhi sakhkhara lana hadha. These are types of du'as or adhiyah. They're adhkar, but they're du'as. The next type of the dhikr of the tongue is called, and this is interesting, it's called dhikr ra'iyah, ra'aya. What this means is dhikr that actually is training your heart and mind. What do I mean by that? Like some of the scholars or the mashayikh of Dimashq, they would repeat over and over again, Allahu ma'i, Allahu ma'i, Allahu ma'i. What does that mean? Allah is with me. Their dhikr was Allahu ma'i. Why? Because it's training my heart. When I'm remembering that regularly, that becomes ingrained in my... And another one was Allahu nadiri, Allahu nadiri, Allahu nadiri, which means what? Allah is watching me. It's like this dhikr is a dhikr that's training the heart. So three types of dhikr. One is like subhanAllah, subhanAllah, subhanAllah. Cool, that's great. But this third type is very strong. Because it's actually training that concept into your heart and printing that on you. Allahu ma'i, Allahu ma'i, Allahu ma'i. Fahamtum? Alright, the second level of dhikr, we did first level, number one, was just with the tongue. The second level of dhikr is dhikrul qalbi faqat. Dhikrul qalbi faqat. This means when the heart alone remains in... Y'all can come in too. Come on in, come on in, come on in. She's like leaning over trying to see me. Like in the hallway, man. Come on in, please. So the second one, brothers and sisters, is dhikrul qalbi. What does this mean? This is when the heart alone is engaged in the dhikr. And so what some of the scholars would do is they would want to be constantly in the remembrance of Allah. So when they're not with people, then they're sitting there like, subhanAllah, walhamdulillah, wa la ilaha, like verbally. But the moment you start chilling with people, you can't be sitting there like... You know, you can't be chilling with... I'm not going to be chilling with Khaled. We like just kicking it. I'm like... He's going to be like, yo, bro, what's going on? I can't even concentrate with you, bro. So that's when you switch over to dhikrul qalbi. That's when you... And this is the way we zone out as Muslims. Like, you know you somewhere you don't really want to be? Right? Well, other people daydream. What we're being trained to do is at that moment, inner heart dhikr. That's it. You're sitting there, you're like, you don't see no movement. But now my heart, boom, boom, boom. Now listen, this is crazy. The first level creates the second level. You won't be able to do dhikrul qalbi until you got regular with dhikrul lisani. Let me say it in English. You won't be able to do the dhikrul of the heart until you got used to and trained dhikrul qalbi, tongue. Okay? So think of them like steps, okay? Think of them like steps. But when you use which one, when you're in company and you can't just literally be doing dhikr in somebody's face, now you switch over to dhikrul qalbi. And don't look weird. You know what I mean? Seriously. That's the second level. Alright. The third level, obviously you can guess it. Both. So, the third level is when the tongue is engaged in dhikr, but the heart is present with the words. See, the first one, you could just be like, subhanAllah, 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 subhanAllah. Like I said, you're just doing other stuff, and you're just saying it. That's good. The second level, heart only. Third level, and you can't do this all day, obviously, because we got stuff to do, we got work, we got this and that. But when the heart and the tongue are both simultaneously engage in the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the highest level, and with focus, this is the most beneficial one. This is the most beneficial one for your heart. Right? They're all beneficial, but if we wanted to scale them, this is the most beneficial. But if I'm in the car driving, well, I can't sit there and just be like complete focus with my heart, because I gotta drive. So I'm still gonna do dhikr al-lisani for sure. For sure. Right? And get those good deeds racking up. Alright. So now what he talks about next. Everyone understand those? Any questions on those three? Okay, great.
Can you actually elaborate on dhikr of the heart?
Dhikr of the heart is just when your... Dhikr of the heart is a higher level when your heart is constantly looking to be engaged in Allah. So you'll be doing stuff and your heart is missing that relationship with Allah because it was so used to dhikr constantly that it's like, yo, why are you... You know how small talk sometimes is annoying?
Being present.
Huh?
Like being present?
No, that's different. Okay. So being present, you bring up something interesting. So if you're with people, like I said, I gave the example, you want to dip out, mentally dip out. We shouldn't be doing that regularly. Do you understand? Like, remember we talk about presence is key. So if I'm with my children, I need to be present with them. That's where my mind and heart should be. Every moment I'm with you, body and mind presence is the best thing I can give you. Understand? Okay, cool. And that's how the mu'min should be. But I was saying there's cases and times where you actually just don't want to be there. And it doesn't matter if I dip out somewhere else. That's where you can allow the heart to engage in dhikr. Or if you're just shy to be moving your tongue. I don't know why, like, everyone just talks to themselves these days. Put the headphones on and just like, whatever. I be seeing dudes walking out the street. I used to be that dude too, so I ain't gonna front. I mean, I used to be that dude too. So if they can do all that, I can just walk. Why are we so shy with us? It's such double standards, man. Like Umar bin Khattab used to say, I'm scared of a time when the shayateen are proud and the believers are scared. Like they're proud openly. On that one Friday, it was come out day, right? Last Friday was it? It was come out day. My khutbah was like, come out, Muslims. Come out. Everybody coming out. You come out too. If everyone's coming, be proud of who you are. There's this like stigma amongst Muslims that we're like ashamed of who we are. Everybody else is coming out, you come out too. Get rid of that whole like double standard, I'm all shy of myself. Stop, don't internalize that. Be proud of who you are, everybody else is. For real. Okay. So now what does he do? Okay, you get what I'm saying about the... Did I answer your question with the presence? Like, if I'm with my wife, if I'm with my children, if I'm with any one of you, I'm not going to just dip out mentally. I'm going to try not to. But if I do dip out, I'm dipping out to dhikr. Do you get it? Okay. Okay, but presence, we talked, is key. Presence changes lives, man. Yes.
So you don't have to...
Nope. There's a hadith that says after the angels place all your deeds on the good on the scale, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say, okay, move up, move out the way. Allah will place deeds. They'll say, where were all these? These are the deeds you never saw him do. You never saw him do these deeds. So how are you going to write these down? Angels don't see that. You know what I'm saying? So Allah says, these are all those deeds. Let's put those on now. So yeah, you get reward for that 100%. Plus it's training your mind to be where you want it to be. Most of the time our mind's daydreaming about all some whack stuff, right? So you want to train your mind to be where you want it to be. You want to train your mind to be where you want it to be. And that's mindfulness right there.
So when you think of something bad, you don't get the same thing. But when you think of Allah in a good way, you get that.
Yeah, exactly. Yep. Yeah.
Going back to the last section where you were talking about doing jikr, whether it's out loud or quietly.
Out loud or quietly, uh-huh.
What about for... run across that situation, like after Salah, you know, I take out my feet and I'm doing it, and my friend's like, you always seem like you're doing so much more than this.
Don't worry about that, keep going. Yeah.
I don't want to make
you feel bad. Yeah. I mean, like, it's after Salah, like...
I'm like, I mean, you should too.
It's after Salah, do your thing, don't change your... You be the stronger heart that's causing change in other people, don't be so influenced by others. Again, we have care for people, but nonetheless, in this thing here, it seems like, nah, you do what you gotta do. Yeah. Okay. Trying not to look pious and stuff. Okay, any other questions? This is a very important concept. Okay, let's get in. Yes.
Yeah, so based off of that question, I was thinking, like, you don't want to come off as, like, arrogant either. Like, oh yeah, look at me. Yeah. Even though that's not your intention, some people might take it in that way. Like, oh wow, look at you, girl.
Yeah, I think the problem that we struggle with is we think how people are looking at us.
Yeah.
You're not even thinking that, and you're like, what are they going to think I feel? It's like, and then you're going like too deep. Like, going too deep.
Do you think there's still a little more into that, though?
There is. Oh, 100%. Like, I wrote the book on EQ, bro. Like, for real. It is. Right? So, but in this case, if your company's good company and like your close friends, just try to make yourself seem chill when you're doing it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like you're not all special, like, yo, I'm just about to... I don't know, man. That's hard. I'm sorry. I don't have a decisive answer for this one. Forgive me. Yeah, I understand their thought. Let me think of it. I'll come back. Let me think about it. All right, cool. look what he does next. Now he's going to talk about some of the etiquettes of doing dhikr. So remember this. When we as Muslims have anything that we have part of our deen, we also learn the etiquettes, or the Arabic word is adab, of doing that thing. Like, how do you do that thing? What's the adab of that thing? You don't just do it the way you want to do it. There's an adab to it. And so what he's going to talk about now, are some of the adab of doing dhikr. Moment in the day that you've specified for dhikr, what I'm about to go through now. Because remember, we talked about on my way to work, I'm reading some stuff. Like me and you were talking about, like, on my way to work, I'm going to be reading this odor, all this stuff. You won't be able to do that in the car. So this is going to be the adab for that moment you have, that time you have, that's allocated just for remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Which by now, I hope we've started to try to do that since last week. Even if it's just 5 minutes, okay? وَأُدَّ مِنْ عَدَابِ ذِكِّرِ الذَّاكِرِ جُلُوسُ عَبْدٍ فِي مَكَانٍ طَاهِرٍ مستقبل القبلة ذات ربع أو متوركا كمن صلى فعي طيبة راححة طيبة طيبة راححة إذ لا تخلو مجالس الذكر إما إذا ما تجلو. He says the first adab, and it's considered of the etiquettes of the one remembering Allah, that they sit down, julus, number one, fi makan and tahir, in a clean place. So wherever in your house you pray, sit down at that spot. Mustaqbil al-qibla, facing the qibla. I want to stress this again. There's no restrictions on dhikr. Like, الَّذِينَ يَذْكُرُونَ اللَّهَ قِيَامًا وَقُعُودًا وَعَلَىٰ جُنُوبِهِمْ. Right? The Quran says those who remember Allah in all states. But what he's talking about is a special time when you're, this is my meditation time, quote unquote. You get what I'm trying to say here? Does everyone understand? Because what happens if you think this is the only way, you're going to be laying down. You're like, oh no, I can't do dhikr, I'm laying down. No, it's the opposite. It's the opposite. It's the opposite. Dhikr is all the time. This is for that special time. That is my focus dhikr time. Fahimtum? Okay, look what he says. Mustaqbil al-qibla, facing the qibla. Why the qibla? Because there's a ruhani, a spiritual faith or benefit that comes from that spot. That tarabbu'in, legs crossed, or sitting the way you sit in prayer. كَمَنْ صَلَّ فَعِي. So either with your legs crossed or the way you sit in prayer. طَيِّبَ رَائِحَةً. He says, make sure you put on some perfume or cologne or itar or something like that. Why? He says, إِذْ لَا تَخْلُوا مَجَالِسَ الذِّكْرِ إِذَا مَا تَجْلُوا عَنِ الْمَلَائِكَ بِإِسْتِمَاعِ وَمُؤْمِنَ الْجِنِّ عَلَى الْإِجْمَاعِ. He says, because every gathering of dhikr necessarily will have with you malaika, angels, and it's a little freaky, but the good jinn as well. I'm like, nah, I'm done. Nah, bro, we doing group dhikr. We doing group dhikr. So jinn are like, so what are jinn first and foremost? Jinn obviously are like an unseen creation that's talked about in the Quran. They live in the world with us, we just don't see them. They're called jinn, right? Maybe the word genie came from jinn. Allahu Alam, right? Allahu Alam, right? So anyways, the point is he says you should have itr on. This is beautiful. Why should you have itr on, or perfume or cologne? Why? Because he said this gathering, when you're sitting down, is going to have the presence of angels. And angels like beautiful smells as well. And so, because there's hadith that says they dislike what other people dislike, what people dislike, right? And so having a perfume or some type of fragrance is going to make that gathering more accommodating and beautiful for those in attendance, right? And one of the things, the Prophet ﷺ said in a hadith, this is a crazy hadith, there's no israf in itr, in perfume. What that means is whatever it costs, there's no israf, there's no wastage. This is one of the only things the Prophet ﷺ said that you cannot spend too much in. Perfume. Why? Yeah. Yo, that ain't nothing. There's teachers here that got like a bottle this big. It's a grand, bro. No joke of itta. No joke. No, it's that Saudi stuff, man. And that stuff that's too strong too. Huh? Yo, if that one little drop a whole week, you're like, yo. So listen, the Prophet said there's no israf in perfume. There's no wastage. What, and we have this concept, you don't waste money. But this is one thing the Prophet ﷺ said, you can spend whatever amount you want. Why though? Because you don't get the benefit other people do. Look, you put it on, you smell it for like the first 3 minutes, then you don't smell it anymore. Then everyone else smells it. So you've done it as a sadaqah for everyone else almost. Yeah, but this is in their gathering of dhikr, right? So like, yeah, you're right about
so,
that.
But like, for, so it's okay if you're...
with other sisters and stuff? Yeah.
Or like so, even in public, you know, whenever you're out there, say like, because it's an attraction thing. Like,
yeah, yeah, so that is true, right? There is a hadith about like perfume for women publicly, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's there.
Like, thinking, then you gotta go to work, like...
But if you put it on with that intention there, I mean, if it just sticks with you the rest of the day, wallahu alam, if that's not your intention. I think that hadith is like your intention, you're like, I'm about to go out, and like that. I think that's the intention. If the smell just stayed with you, then there's no problem with that, right? That's a good question, actually, right? So, but listen, the point here is, listen, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he said in a hadith, and this is what he's referring to about the presence of the angels. The Prophet ﷺ said, لَا يَقْعُدُ قَوْمٌ يَذْكُرُونَ اللَّهِ. No group of people gathers together to remember Allah, like a gathering like this. إِلَّا حَفَتْهُمُ الْمَلَائِكَةِ. The angels surround that gathering. وَغَشْيَتْهُمُ الرَّحْمَةِ. Mercy comes down in these gatherings. وَنَزَلَتْ عَلَيْهِمُ السَّكِينَةِ. Tranquility descends. وَذَكَّرَهُمُ اللَّهِ بِمَنْ عِنْدَهُ. And Allah mentions all of those people in that gathering with the angels in His presence. Now, one of the hadith says, Allah says, what were they doing? And Allah says, they were seeking your pleasure and trying to stay away from your anger. Then Allah says in this hadith that the Prophet narrates, that Allah says, forgive them all for their sins, just for coming in this gathering. The angels say, but there's one dude that was just in the back. Like, he didn't even want to come. Literally, this is crazy. SubhanAllah. Then the Prophet ﷺ said that Allah says, forgive this person too, because innahum jalis la yashqa, like there's a company, la yashqa julasa'uhum. This is such company that just being near them will bring you benefit. So this person didn't even want to come, they're just like in the back. And that person is getting the benefit of the entire gathering of that forgiveness. My point in narrating that hadith is because when you sit in the gatherings of remembrance of Allah, the angels are present in those gatherings. And you need to be people, believers, who see that with your heart. Sense that, feel that, and know that to be true.
What level of sin are you talking about now?
Not kabair. Yeah. Kabair need toba. Okay. Like kabair, major, major sins, they need toba. Yes. So again, it's beautiful gatherings of remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And here's the deal. As I brought up before, this whole concept of gathering to remember Allah has become so taboo in American Islamic culture because of people scared of extremes and people scared of this, scared of that. But there are clear hadith, the Prophet ﷺ said, when people gather to remember Allah, the angels are present in that gathering. So the condition, but one of the adab he says, is that you put on a perfume or cologne or something like that. The last adab, he says, وَأُدَّ إِخْلَاسَ الْفَتَى بِتَسْفِيَةٍ أَذْكَارِهِ مِنْ كُلِّ شَوْبٍ فَدْرِيَةٍ. He says, the last thing is just make sure your intention is pure. The last thing, when you sit down for this dhikr, make sure your intention is pure. Okay, it's been 50 minutes. We'll just do 5 more minutes, guys. 5 more minutes, inshallah ta'ala. Because now he's going to talk about specific adhkar, dhikrs to do. And I really wanted to get to this part, inshallah. Bismillah. وَإِن تَكُن مُبْتَدِئًا فَالنَّفْيُ أَوْلَى مَعَ التَّأْذِينِ يَا أُخَيُّ. He says, if you're at the beginning of this journey, like all of us, the beginning of your journey of dhikr, he says, فَالنَّفْيُ أَوْلَى. You want to do more negating remembrances. What do I mean by negating? La ilaha. What does it start with? La ilaha. There is no. Subhanallah. Negating. He's like, if you're at the beginning, look, when you're at the beginning, there's a lot of other stuff in your heart and your mind. Like, we got a lot of baggage, all of us, right? And so when you're on the beginning of the journey, the first thing you're trying to do is just drop the baggage. And that nafi, that la ilaha, is negating all of that stuff. All of those gods you've set up, all of those things you've set up in your life that determine how you live, you're negating that. La ilaha. No. So he says, at the beginning of your journey, the strongest thing that you're going to hold on are the La ilaha illallah, subhanAllah, anything that's negating everything other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This beautiful advice. Ma'at ta'adheem. And those that exalt Allah. So those that exalt Allah, because again, you're at the beginning and you need to overpower all of that extra love, all those extra loves and attachments that you have. So he's saying nafi, negation, and exaltation. This is where you begin with your adhkar. And simply put, la ilaha illallah, and like subhanAllah. Simply put, la ilaha illallah, and subhanAllah. Fahimt? Okay. Then he says, bika bila ilaha illallah, wal muntahi mukhtasirun billah. Amazing. I'm going to read it again. Wa in takun mubtadiyan fannafyu, awla ma'at ta'zimi ya ukhayyu, bika bila ilaha illallah, وَالْمُنْتَهِي مُخْتَصِرٌ بِاللَّهِ. He says, you'll start off with La ilaha illallah. That's your dhikr. La ilaha illallah. Where's your joint?
I got it still.
Okay. La ilaha illallah. That's it. La ilaha illallah. There's no God but Allah. There's no deity but Allah. But when you say the La ilaha, remember this. You're negating everything other than God. That's the only thing there is for me. That's the only thing that will save me. Everything else is out. La ilaha illallah. Then he says, bika bila ilaha illallah. That's in the beginning, but watch this. Wal muntahi mukhtasirun billah. When you get to the final stages, what's your dhikr? Allah. 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 That's all you need. Like the old aunties, they just be cooking. Straight up, their heart is soaking. They don't need nothing else. They don't need the ala ilah. They don't need Allah Allah, Allah, Allah. That's all they're looking for now is Allah, Allah, Allah. So he says in the beginning it's la ilah illallah. At the end, all your dhikr. The Prophet ﷺ said in Sahih Muslim, la tuqimu sa'a hatta la yuqalu fil ard Allah, Allah. Amazing hadith. The Prophet ﷺ said, Qiyamah, the day of judgment, will not come until, he specifically said, there is no one left on earth to say, Allah, Allah. Brothers, my teachers, sisters, brothers and sisters, my teacher explained this as the words Allah, Allah are the soul for this dunya. When there's no one left to say it, it has no purpose. Qiyamah begins. The purpose of it, what keeps it going, is the remembrance of Allah. It's profound. So he says again, bika bila ilaha illallah. Begin right now, la ilaha illallah. That's all you're doing. La ilaha illallah. La ilaha illallah. Right? Because you gotta get all that other stuff out of our heads. You know what I mean, bro? Like, I know. Me too, for real, for real. Like, you gotta get all that other stuff out. La ilaha illallah. And the la is just negating everything other than God. Right? But then as you get further on, it's just Allah, Allah, Allah. Now the way our teachers recommended it is, you actually would start your dhikr with La ilaha illallah, and you would, the last dhikr you would just do was like 100 La Allah, 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 just Allah's name. Whatever number, you don't need a number, right? You don't want a number, just whatever, okay? But you're just saying Allah, Allah. Fahamtum, beautiful. Tayyib. You know, I think this is a good place to stop. About to start coming up Kesh and stuff, so you know, we need to take a break right there. Do that next week. Beautiful brothers and sisters, there's nothing greater than having your tongue constantly in the remembrance of Allah. It is your companion when you are alone, it is your guide. The Prophet ﷺ, what he's going to do next week, just so you know, like next week, he's going to actually speak about the specific types of dhikr. So, like, subhanAllah, what's the benefit? What does it do for you? What's the benefit of reading it? Alhamdulillah, what does it do for you? What is the benefit? Like all of those, la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah, what does it do for you? So next week he talks about specifically what these specific adhkar will do for you. My advice to myself and to everyone is, remember, in the beginning, the purpose of dhikr is to create that familiarity with God, with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You want yourself to just, when you have nothing else, to be turning back to Allah, remembering your purpose, remembering why you're here. And that remembrance of Allah is the key to that. Is the key to that. And so, however you can get in the habit cut out other things, take out time in the day while you're driving, while you're doing whatever, to at least one of the three levels. Remember the three levels, right? Just tongue, just heart, and both. Please hold on to the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One of my favorite narrations, I can't remember where I read it, but I will end with this, is that, you know, when the people of Jannah are in Jannah and people have all taken their positions, a person will be seeing Jannah, and when they look up, they'll see what looks like a star above them, and they'll ask, you know, an angel or something, what is that? And the person will say, not what, who, that's a person that's above you. And the person will look at the star and say, well, how did they get so high? And the narration says, the angel will say, oh, that person right there, well, they only said one more subhanAllah than you. Right? And so to me, that's a powerful narration that, listen, man, like, you're doing nothing. Just allow your tongue to be moist in the remembrance of Allah. That was the Prophet's specific words. La yazalu lisan ratbu fi dhikrillah. Like, keep your tongue just moist in the remembrance of Allah. That is your protection, guys. That is for, don't be afraid to look all pious. I know that's the issue we struggle with. But honestly, we're on a journey right now. We gotta, you know, we gotta make ourselves strong. If you're that scared, then in that moment switch to dhikrul qalbi. You know what I'm saying? But I would encourage you to just, you know, establish yourself first. So may Allah give us tawfiq to be of those people who are constantly in remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah give us the tawfiq, inshallah ta'ala, to understand how great and beautiful it is to remain in the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the ability to act upon what has been taught and read here today. Inshallah ta'ala, wa akhir da'wana alhamdulillah. What I'm going to ask us to do is, I'm going to ask us for 1 minute to sit quietly in the remembrance of Allah. Dhikr qalbi, right? I don't want everybody saying, yo, they're doing some whack stuff over there. So we're going to do just dhikr qalbi, your heart. Listen, listen. One of the things about Hajj is there's something called muscular bonding. All right, we can talk about this some other day. Maybe a clean article on this would be pretty cool. Something called muscular bonding, when a bunch of people are doing something together, there's something that happens, a kind of euphoric like feeling that comes with that. And people experience it in all types of stuff, raves and parties and stuff like that, whatever. But for the Muslims, like, a Hajj is a moment where you get that feeling. You almost lose your individuality in the whole group, right? You lose your individuality in the whole group. And so in these gatherings like this, when we're going to just sit and remember Allah, one of the things is just to kind of lose yourself in the remembrance of Allah for that moment. And stop worrying about people looking at you. Stop worrying about, you know, like, don't worry about nothing. Just focus on you and Allah and lose yourself for that moment in the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So dhikr qalbi, in your heart, for 1 minute, we just remember Allah with the intention that the Prophet ﷺ said, la yaq'udu qawman yadhkurun Allah illa ghashyatum wal malaika. That hafatum al malaika wa ghashyahum al rahma. That's our only intention. We want to get the benefit of that hadith that we read, inshallah ta'ala. So just for 1 minute, inshallah ta'ala, focus your heart on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and remember Allah.